joining us now. Let us get the headset on him. Immediately, the one and only, the one and only, and slumming to do a little radio after his great turn on Players Only on TNT, Jason Terry.
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
What is going on, Jet? It is great to have you here. It is great to be a part of this tonight.
Oh, what a great night to be here. I brought my daughters. This is a night we would not miss.
So, I've been asking pretty much everybody this all day long. What was your very first memory of playing against Dirk with the Atlanta Hawks? And then we'll get to when you first got here and started playing with him. So, first with Atlanta.
Well, my very first memory was a battle, a duel, so to speak, in Atlanta in Phillips Arena. I ended up with about 46. Dirk had about 42. They got the win. But it was one of those things where you're like, wow, what did I just do? You know, what was I just a part of? And so, you know, just to watch him at that stage of his career and then play with him as a teammate and see how his game evolved and how it continued to develop. It's just amazing, man. He's just had an awesome journey. And I was just blessed to share the court with him as an opponent.
So, go ahead, Brad.
We were talking a little bit about his work ethic.
Oh, bar none.
And how different guys would come in, you know, during the season, say, I'm going to work as hard as Dirk.
Yeah.
Some of those guys never lasted.
Good luck.
Talk a little bit about what you saw when Dirk worked.
I mean, you know, I've played with some legends, some great guys, Kevin Garnett, Jason Kidd, but Dirk Nowitzki's work at bar none. He is the hardest worker that I've been around, and it was the thing about his work was it was effortless, but he had a routine. He was efficient with his routine, and it was every day. Just like brushing your teeth, that was Dirk in the gym every morning before shoot around, every night before a game. He was in there with his routine a lot of times with Hoger, but even when Hoger wasn't here, he'd be in there probably with you, BD, with me, with another coach, just going through his routine, getting his shots in his comfort zone where he liked to shoot them from.
So tell me and tell us something about though we get to the hotel in a particular city, the bags get dropped, and then you and Dirk and whoever else go off. And you tell, give us a sense of what those sessions were like.
I mean, any city that we would go to, we would already have the gym reserved, and if they didn't allow us to reserve, I mean, you got teams. I won't name them, but Miami, they would never let us shoot at their gym in their arena. But our thing was, if we could go on the road and get comfortable in their arena and they allowed us to, why wouldn't you come in and get some extra shots up? You know, find those little dents in the floor. BD, you played in the Boston Garden.
Yeah.
There were certain spots where that ball just wouldn't bounce. There were certain spots on the rim where it's just softer than others. And if you got in the night before and got a chance to fill out those areas, then you had a huge advantage. And I think that's what I learned from Dirk, and I continue to do that and put that in my routine as I aged in my career.
Well, I used to love watching you guys have your shooting contest.
Oh, man.
Because, I mean, it was amazing. You guys hardly ever missed.
Yeah. And I couldn't tell you who won those.
Well, I just want to know how much money exchanged hands. I mean, that's what I want to know.
No, it's all fake money.
It's all fake money with Dirk. I'm still looking for a couple dollars. And I got a feeling that I'll never see it. But the only other guy that could really compete with Dirk and I in those contests was Pager. I mean, one time we're making 50. Pager makes 48 out of 50. He ran off like 28 straight. And it was something we had never seen. But I tell you what about Dirk. He only got to win it one time because we had to play every single day until Dirk won. That was the rule. So you never really won.
So how many games could you go before Dirk actually won?
I mean, it could be endless.
What do you think the longest streak was?
It wasn't long. I mean, you probably ran off two or three straight, and then he would follow it up with two or three straight of his own. And then it was like, okay, coach, can you come pull the ball from Dirk? Because he's not going to leave until he at least gets one up on you. I mean, that was just to speak to his competitiveness, his competitive nature. And the way he practiced is the way he played.
45-25, 8 minutes remaining in the first half. The Mavericks shooting 54% from the floor. And Phoenix with the ball. Jason Terry joining Chuck Cooperstein and Brad Davis on the perch here at the American Airlines Center on Dirk night, as Dorian Finney-Smith called for a foul underneath the basket. So here's one thing I always wanted to ask. In game two, of the finals.
Yes.
The miscommunication that led to the Chalmers three.
Oh, boy.
What did Dirk say to you?
Oh. What the beep are you doing? Right? And there was no miscommunication. That was me on my little freelance, free safety. It just a brain fart on my end.
And then he figured, okay, if you're going to mess up that bad, I got to try to fix this, right?
I got to fix this thing. And on many occasions throughout my run with Dirk, he had to fix things that I broke.
But then you more than made up for it in game six.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, this was a situation that myself, Dirk, the city, we would not let Miami win that series. Whatever we had to do, at all costs, we were willing to do it.
I mean, other than the actual winning of that series, Jet, what was your favorite moment of the series? Trey Burke just knocked down a three from the left
probably
corner.
Probably the most favorite moment for me was, you know, when we're starting to wrap that thing up, it's about a minute left. By about 45 seconds left. We're shooting free throws. Dirk and I embrace at half court, and I kind of just lay my head on his chest like my daughters do me at night, and it was just a proud moment, man. And, you know, we've embraced on many occasions, but to do it in Miami on that stage, it was just a great moment.
Yeah, how rewarding was that to beat them down there?
Oh, too rewarding. I don't think if it was any other team had we have got the same satisfaction. But because D-Wade was still on that team, because it was still the Heat, it was that much more rewarding.
Yeah.
So back to when you were first traded here.
Yes.
The difference between trying to play a team, play against a team that had him, and now you and figuring out how to play with him, and especially in the two-man game that you guys perfected.
Well, the thing about it was when I came here, obviously I was brought here to replace Steve Nash, but I knew I could never do so. And so my thing was, how fast can Dirk and I form some chemistry together as he and Nash once had? Now, their two-man game reminded you of Stockton and Malone. He and I's two-man game was just a little bit different because I was more of a scorer coming off his screens. And so we had to develop that relationship, that chemistry, and some of those shooting contests that BD talked about is how we formed that chemistry. And then obviously going out on the court and perfecting it. But it was a relationship that I'm truly grateful for because obviously I would not have had the career I had without having a teammate like Dirk.
And the man of the hour is back in the game as a couple of free throws are made by Dragan Bender, and the Mavs were up 48 to 27, shooting 54%. Dirk with 14 points to lead them, and he's got it again, and he loads up the three. Front rim board falls away into the hands of Melton.
We want Dirk to shoot it 50 times tonight.
That's what I said.
Why not? Kobe did it. Everybody else in their, you know, their swan song does it. Shoot them all, Dirk.
So how many – no, the most shots he's ever taken in a game is 34.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
We got
a long way to go to get there.
But are we on pace?
He's only taken 12 shots so far.
Oh, we got to pick it up, big fella.
Nobody else is allowed to shoot, because if Dirk's going to pass it, then we got a problem.
Right.
And he throws it to Brokaw, and he steps out of bounds driving along the baseline.
Well, we were laughing those first 5 minutes when Dirk got those eight shots. How gassed did he look at the end of those five minutes?
Because hey, you know Dirk, he rarely likes to get going early. He likes to close the deal. He's exerted a lot of energy early on in his game, and hopefully he can keep it up.
Well, the last time we had a building that was buzzing like this was the 30,000 point game,
and he
got it going early in that one.
He got it going early. That was a special night. You know, obviously we knew he would surpass the 30,000 point mark, but to do it here at home, it had to be even more special for him.
And as quick as he did it.
Yeah.
Oh, it was bang, bang. Yeah. And actually, I was in studio calling the game in NBA TV.
Here's Doncic back in the game with a steal behind his back, right to left, and to the rim for the layup. Pretty good right there.
He is pretty good.
Yeah, he's got a chance to be okay, huh?
No, he's going to be special. And, again, when you look back on Doncic's career and the way he started out, because he has Dirk here guiding him through that process, I think that's why he's been so comfortable this year.
Yeah, we were talking about when Steve Nash sort of took Dirk under his wing. Because when Dirk got here,
Fish out of water.
And you remember Dirk in his early years. Yeah. He wouldn't talk.
You know, kind of just wanted to just lead by example. But, you know, Nash started to bring him out of his shell. When Nash left, Avery Johnson tried to do very similar things. Yeah. And when you have a leader, it's one thing to do it by example. But when he took his next step is when Tyson was here, Jason Kidd was here, where he learned how to do it vocally.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think, and this is a question that Mavericks fans have pondered for quite some time, do you think that as great as Steve and Dirk were together, that ultimately Dirk became who he is because they actually split up and they couldn't rely on one another, and Dirk turning and banking it home from the 45-degree angle on the right side?
Sweet touch off the glass, big fella.
And Crawford at the other end. But you know, it seemed as close as they were, it seemed like Nash almost needed to leave because he had a chip on his shoulder. And Dirk, who now shoots a three from the left.
Oh, big fella.
He does have a sense of the moment, doesn't he?
Oh, no doubt about it. You know what? In Dirk's finest hours, right, the biggest games, he always delivered. And that's what you got to love about Dirk.
Jackson for three, no good. Bender the rebound and fouled by Dirk. As official Tyler Ford is roundly booed.
Yeah. How could you call a foul on a guy in his building on his night?
Dirk's got 19 points tonight on 7 of 14 shooting and 4 of 6 from 3. His season high is 21 that he had in the win at Golden State back on March 23rd. And Bender's on the line now to shoot.
That's how you let him go for 41. How appropriate would that be?
100%.
41.
Get 41. Stop the game, RC, or call one of those timeouts you're known for, and let's rock this thing for about all night long.
Can you imagine if he did what this place will be
like? He's on pace right now.
He actually is.
So let's speak it into existence.
And he's timeout by the Mavericks after the missed free throw and Dirk's rebound.
That was Doncic.
And no one practices more of those than he does. And he will make more than his fair share before his hopefully 21-year career is done. 4:20 remaining in the first half, and the Mavericks with the ball and the lead, and Dirk having a magnificent first half. A video out of the timeout, and you had to wonder, would this be the time, or how could Dirk hold it together for as long as he's held it together, and he finally lost it out of that timeout.
Yeah, this will be a night full of emotions, and as you've seen, well, they can't see, we're on the radio, but we're going to let you know Dirk had a moment there, shed a couple tears, and it's going to be emotional like that for him all night long, BD.
Trey Burke for three.
It really is.
Yeah, after Dirk had missed a shot, an offensive rebound and a kick out, make it 58-32. That was really extraordinary. And again, just like everything else in this celebration over the last 4 months as Jackson drives and scores, Brad, it's been totally organic. You know, there's been nothing that's really been staged. Everything has just seemed so real.
You know, and that's the way Dirk wants it, though. You know, Dirk's not going to announce it and try to go on a big tour, you know, final arenas and everything. Dirk does it his way, and that's the humble way. He just wants to go out on his terms.
Jet, give me your best Dirk non-basketball story. Just Dirk the guy, Dirk the teammate.
Dirk the teammate who laid my father out, my 58-year-old father out on his balcony after a night of hanging out. Now, we all know the big German could knock back a couple moves, but on this particular night, my father challenged him to a semi-drinking contest, I will call you. It was really one-sided at the moment. And so my father, he's boastful and bragging. He's like, I bet I can knock back four in a row. By about the third and a half beer, he falls out on Dirk's balcony, and he laid there. But Dirk's such a good guy, he let him lay there, gave him a blanket and a pillow. I came back over the next night and picked him up. So it was a full 24-hour hangover for Pops.
So basically you're saying he was an all-time scorer, and he was an all-timer taking care of business with fun. And there, the other end, Dorian Finney-Smith, a spectacular follow dunk to make it 60-36 with 3 minutes remaining in the half.
But what people may not know is – during the season, Dirk Carley ever drank at all?
No, never. Never.
Never at all.
Never. He had a strict diet, a strict routine.
But once the season ended, that first week, he'd go off the rails.
So we'd be on the golf course for a couple days. We'd be at his house, the loon, old school loon, for a couple days. No, it was all out.
I can remember 1 year the Mavericks were eliminated. The Stars were in the playoffs. I want to say this was 3 years ago. And Mark had a suite with a couple of players in the suite. And Dirk was having fun out there as Kleba shoots the three and he hits from the top of the arc. And he had some big piece of chocolate cake and he had a glass of red wine and he was enjoying himself.
Yes, stuff you would never see in the regular season. But that's what you had to admire about him.
He was that he so could turn
committed.
It on and off, right?
Yeah, and he was so committed. He was willing to sacrifice some of the, you know, some of the royalties of NBA life and fun to be committed to his team to win.
Here's Justin Jackson driving across the lane from left to right to lay it in. They made it 65-36, and Igor Kokoschkov will take a timeout with 2:04 remaining in the half. So give us any other good, say, just a good locker room story or back at, or a front of the plane story. Now, he wasn't a card player, was he?
He was part
of the card players.
I was the big card game. Dirk had the mini card game. But see, the thing about Dirk is he knew up there he really couldn't compete because of how we played, right? It was a strategy to it. So what he would do was he wanted to be king of the little game, which was no problem, right? He knew he had the big dollars over there. It was no competition. And so, man, it was funny, man. But he always made sure he had the advantage. I call him the casino player. Because, you know, if you've ever been to a casino, the house always has the advantage. Dirk always has the advantage. He makes sure of that.
So I just wanted to finish the point that we were talking about before. There's the picture of Sean Marion, Michael Finley, Brian Cardinals here tonight as well. Eric Dampier in the building tonight as well. Lots of Dirk's former teammates. And all I can tell you is that after the game, stay tuned. We're not revealing, but there are some big, big, big names in the house.
There is.
To honor Dirk. But to the point about Dirk and Steve separating, how much do you think that helped Dirk grow as a leader, just because he knew he was the guy at that point, and he had to step up and be that guy?
Well, when they were together, you really didn't know. Well, you kind of knew Nash was the leader. He was the point guard. He was the general on the floor. But when they separated, Dirk shouldered all the responsibility, all the load. You know, when we lost, he would take it upon his shoulders. It was Dirk's fault. And he'd tell you, my bad, fellas. I'll pick you up. We'll get the next one. When we won, he really didn't care to have all the praise. He really gave it to his teammates. So, I mean, again, when they separated, a huge responsibility became on his shoulders, and the Mavericks franchise became Dirk's.
You know, I'm just going to be very interested to see, you know, when Dirk decides that enough is enough as Jamal Crawford rims the basket and Doncic with another rebound. He's got 8 rebounds and 8 assists in the first half. When Luka takes over as the face of the franchise, just beyond anything he might have learned on the court from Dirk, how much he's learned off the court from Dirk to shoulder what obviously every great NBA team has, that guy that shoulders the heavy load.
Well, the biggest thing you can learn from a young guy, I mean, for a young guy, from a veteran, is just learning how to carry yourself. You know, how to be responsible, how to be accountable.
Doncic hit a shot right as the shot clock buzzer went off. Off balance, leaning in from the top of the circle. They're going to review this to see if he did get it off in time.
And looked like he did.
I don't think, he did not. He did not. Light was on the board before it left his hand, so Phoenix will have it 1:16 remaining in the half.
Well, Jeff, tell us a little bit about how Dirk used to always brag about his baseball game.
Oh.
His baseball prowess. I never went to one of the games, but he'd always come back afterwards and tell me, I was 4 for 5. I had a triple. Played in those games.
I played in the game. I starred in one of them, got the MVP trophy.
You still have it?
Yes, I do. I slid in the first base one time. I mean, those are some great games and great times. And his work in the community is something also that we applaud him for, because he's been embedded. You know, he's not from this country. He has no responsibility here. But once he came into Dallas, he made Dallas his home. And in the community, he's been bigger than any other professional athlete in the city of Dallas, and I applaud him for that. But back to your point,
give us a scouting report on his baseball ability.
It's bad. it is horrendous, and don't try to practice that swing at home.
No, I've been to a couple of those games, and not even just the throwing motion is not what it needs to be.
It is.
And you know what? As fluid as his jump shot is, that's how mechanical his throwing motion is when he throws a baseball.
Did not translate, right? But I will tell you, he's a heck of a tennis player, though.
Yes. Yes.
And you would think tennis players, you have to move your feet, lateral movement, quickness, agility. I mean, he is a powerful server, and he covers a lot of ground with less steps.
Okay, so there was a foul that was called, and on the shot, and they counted the basket. They said he did get it off in time.
Okay.
I thought I saw the lights on the backboard. It's 68-36 with a minute 10 remaining in the half. Here is Josh Jackson on the drive and floating it up and in. Coming down the lane to do that. He's got 9. Let's see if they can get Dirk two more shots here before the end of the half.
Yeah, you got to get him over 20 to get to that 41.
Here is Burke. Come on, Trey. Let him get down to the block. He's there against Spalding. There's the good angle entry. One-on-one. Jab step and rise and fire. Front rimmed it. Rebound taken down by Okobo. Here comes Okobo. Scoops it left to Jackson. To the baseline in the lane for Spalding. Catches, goes up, and Dirk comes down on top of the ball and knocks it off his arm and out of bounds.
And I don't know where he stands at on career blocks, but BD, as you know, that little swipe down, that is a block.
He's going to come get you. You bring it down, especially those big guys. He loves stripping you.
Quickly to Dirk. Here we go. Straightaway three. Ooh. That's short. The rebound taken by Crawford.
Well, we'll get another possession here now. That was a smart play by Dirk. The 2-for-1 that we all know and love.
He's taken 17 shots in 17 minutes after a season-high 14 at Golden State.
You start running down the other end right now.
Yeah, really. He doesn't need to guard anybody right now. Here is Spalding, fouled by Trey Burke, who went for the steal. And free throws will come with 8.2 seconds to go. So, Jeff, with that little time left, just any final words about your relationship with Dirk and what he's meant to you personally and just what he's meant to this franchise?
Well, it's one that I'll cherish forever. Obviously, what we were able to accomplish together, him allowing me to be a part of his journey. The two-man game is very special, but it takes two players to achieve. In that type of system, and he was one of the greatest screen setters that I've ever played with, and just to be alongside him, to watch his preparation, to watch his commitment and his dedication to excellence is something that I will thank him for until our graves.
Both foul shots missed. Doncic will run it up. He finds Dirk. One final one for the half. It is off the right of the rim. Rebound stuffed home by Kleber, but that one will come late. And that will do it for the first half. Jason Terry, thanks so much
thanks
for spending
me.
The second quarter with us.
Good seeing you.